Good morning. Well, I've been away for a 3-month sabbatical, and it's so exciting to be back among you. A sabbatical is a time away for you to remember that you are different from what you do. And so I have taken this time to renew and to rejuvenate. And ancient wisdom tells us that this is an important thing to do. You know, Jesus went out into the desert to pray. Moses went to the mountaintop to commune with his God and to receive guidance for his people. Persephone went deep into the earth and emerged in the spring because the very earth was crying out for beauty. And so there is a certain yearning that we have, a yearning to explore, to find the things, the time, the money, the energy, to do those things that we're longing to do. And so it's almost like thinking about what you would do if you won the lottery. What is the deepest longing in your heart? What would you do if you had this time? And so I thought about that. The months leading up to my sabbatical, what is it that I yearn for? And I found the answers to some of that. I visited my family. I don't get enough time with my family. I don't know about you. So I visited my sister and her family in California, my stepson and his wife, and my 2 little grandchildren, who opened my heart in ways that I couldn't have imagined. And I got to play with them and build that relationship with them. And my husband and I rented a tiny little cottage in Venice Beach. And we would ride our bicycles around Venice Beach almost every day and take the path down to the beach and ride along the bike path along the ocean. And every time we did that, it never failed to bring awe when we would see the Santa Monica Mountains sweep down into the Pacific Ocean. And while I was there, I began to study about ways to deepen the spiritual life of our congregation and to make that accessible and available to more people. And that study took me to St. Pete Beach in Florida, where there was a UU Ministers Conference, and I spent 3 days in class with the Reverend Scott Taylor from our Rochester congregation, who has found a way to heal spiritual disconnection in his corner of the world. And then we went to Costa Rica to immerse ourselves in nature and sunshine. And I had the amazing adrenaline rush of flying through the air high above the Monteverde cloud forest on 3 kilometers of zip line. There is no more adrenaline in the world. And then from that time, I came home. And I spent time at home doing all of those things that you never find the time to do while you're at home. And I also got to explore and go deep into that energy and love that some people call God. And I got to commune with that for a good amount of time. And you know, there are some things that you can feel satisfied with, and there are some things for which the longing continues. I'll never be satisfied with the amount of time I have to spend with my grandchildren. I'll never be satisfied with the amount of time I spend with that vibrant energy and love. But I have found a satisfaction in the rest. I have found a satisfaction in learning. I have found energy and excitement to bring back the possibilities. And, you know, I stepped a little bit out of a stream of life, and now I'm about to step in. And that stream, however, has not stayed stagnant. It has moved along, and so I need to find my way back into it with you. And as we do that, we pray that our roots grow deep, that our branches spread far, that we find this world to be a wonderful place and leave it even better for those who follow. Let us join in a spirit of prayer. Spirit of life and of love, there are so many things that we hold in our hearts, the families and the people that we have just heard about who need our love and support, who need to be held and surrounded by love. And yet we come here on Easter morning to also rejoice in the rhythm and the cycles of ongoing life that are within us and surround us. In this season of renewal, of life on the cusp of bursting into bloom and song, the hidden beauty of nature preparing to unfold, remind us that we too have a hidden inner beauty, reflecting the image of life's creative power. And yet at times, we feel held in the lingering winter's frozen landscape, abandoned by the great love and hope that seems to be stirring just below the surface for others, vibrating there, waiting for an awakening touch, a warm breeze. We find ourselves locked in a cold tomb. While there, may we find companions to sit with us in that tomb, providing balm and healing for our sorrows. Let the great love enter our lives, grow and rise in us, strong with faith enough to remove the heavy weight. As the earth is renewed in vibrant beauty, so may our spirits emerge to greet and rejoice in it. Let us hold this moment in silence as truth and love make themselves known to us. So may it be, and amen.
It's often said that Unitarians don't sing hymns well because we're too busy reading ahead to see if we agree with the words. And the truth of it is that it doesn't matter what the words are specifically if what we're doing is singing the praise and the gratitude, the pain, whatever is in our hearts that needs to be sung. And you know, and those words, the words that were just sung by our choir, were words of praise, because today is a day of praise, and today is a day of celebration, and today is a day of good news, yes? And the good news comes out of that story from how many years ago? 2000, almost 2000. So how many of you know that story from almost 2,000 years ago? Oh, so not everyone does. So we'll do a quick review. Do a quick review of the story. So the story really begins a week ago, right? And Jesus comes riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem, and he is hailed and hosannaed, and palms are waved, and everybody's thrilled to see him. I don't suppose that many of the people even knew who he was. You know, they just knew that someone really special and great and significant had come to town, and they were there to celebrate it. And as the week wore on, people came to know who this man was, people who didn't know. And Jesus and his friends got together to celebrate the Pesach Seder on Thursday night, and in the newer tradition, that event is called the Last Supper, right? And they go out after that, and they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they go through this long process where Jesus goes to pray, and his friends fall asleep, and he comes back, and he wakes them up and says, come on, you know, it's not that late, be with me. And he goes, and he prays, and he comes back again, and that happens three times, and then the soldiers come, and they take him away, and they have their very fast trial, and by now it's into daybreak, and Barabbas, the criminal, is let go by the crowds of people who had cheered for Jesus just on Sunday, and they let the criminal go so that Jesus can be crucified, and he's crucified that in the afternoon on Friday, and it's so late by the time that crucifixion is over that they take his body down from the cross and they put it into a tomb where it stays until Easter morning, and Mary the mother and Mary the friend of Jesus go out on Easter morning, and the rock that has been put in front of that tomb to protect the body is rolled away, and the two Marys come, and there's an angel, bright angel. Here I go bright in my black robe, right? Bright angel out in front of the tomb who says, you've come here looking for Jesus? Well, he's not here. He is risen. The Christ is risen. Right? So we're all up to date on that story, yes? Okay, so some people say Jesus didn't rise from the dead and leave the tomb. Some people say Jesus rose from the dead and left the tomb. Some people say Jesus didn't rise. Christ rose, the spirit of Jesus, the spirit that said, love your neighbor as yourself, the spirit that had said, the kingdom of heaven is within. That spirit rose. That spirit went back through the places where Jesus had preached in his life and welled up in the people. And I'm wondering for you all, and I'd like to hear from some of you, not a rhetorical question, what is the meaning of the Easter morning story? What happened there? John?
I think that what happened there is that it was a sign that you suffer and you confront suffering in order that you can transcend it. There's no way to transcend that suffering except by going through it. That's what it means to me.
He had 2 seconds to think about that.
It's the meaning of love.
Well, I think it's just a symbol that we should follow his teachings no matter what happened to him. That we should follow his teachings no matter what happened to him.
Anyone over here?
Let me try. All right. I guess the story to me means the triumph of good over evil, that Jesus went through all this injustice and suffered very cruelly, and he didn't have to because he had the power to avoid that, but he went through it anyway, and without resisting it. And then, but he triumphed in the end by rising and coming back to life.
Anybody else? Dan? Nat? Ah, Donna.
I mean, I think very simply, I think it's rebirth of your soul. And how wonderful that we celebrate it at the time when the earth is reborn. And I don't think anybody can do better than what John said. I think that's pretty great. But I think it is. I think it's spiritual rebirth.
I think when he died, he got reborn, except in the spirit world.
Excellent. Thank you all. So now let me ask you another question, and that is, who gets to decide what it really means? Who gets to decide what this story really means? Pete?
Each of us has a choice of deciding what it means to us. It doesn't have to mean the same to all of us.
So this is a question that really had only one answer. And that's the answer that Pete just gave you. Each of us has the choice to understand this story the way that gives it the most meaning to us, right? And the story is connected to spring. And so it's about rebirth. It's about renewal. It's about redemption, because it's a story that can only happen through the pain and transcending the pain, just as you said, John. So hang on to all of that, okay? And remember, the important piece here is it's a story for all of us, and you get to decide what that story means. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I was doing our Sunday prayer during our service, and my prayer was a longing for spring. My prayer was a longing for us to be able to come out of the season of cold and death and into the season of spring, when life would be made new. And our own wonderful Sabina Ernst gave me a spiritual smack upside the head after the service, and she said, "Charlie, the world does not die in the winter. The energy of the world is laid low beneath the soil sometimes, beneath the snow, in the cold. The energy of the world is laid low. And when spring comes, when Easter comes, the energy rises up again." And so the story of spring and the story of Easter and the resurrection are the same story, yes? And this year, we had a winter, yes? We had a winter this year. I'm not altogether sure it's over. I have faith that it will end, but I'm not altogether sure we're there yet. And I found myself in this winter season, as winter was wearing on and Pensacola Phil came along and said, "Oh, it's a short one this year, folks." First time since I've been born that I remember, he said it was going to be a short one. And it's gone on and on and on. And I found myself with this two sets of energy in me going on. And those two sets are, I want spring to come. I want that energy to rise up. I want to see those jonquils and daffodils and crocus. And I want warmth. I want warmth. And so that's going on one side. And on the other side of me is the, wow, We didn't have winter last year, did we? We didn't have winter, really, the year before that, did we? And like many of you, I fear that we're entering some kind of a tomb. And so I found myself in this late winter feeling, oh, winter, thank you for being here, and please, please, last as long as you want. And then I would feel, I want to see the flowers, I want to see the spring. And I've been living with both of those, and now I'm just really ready for spring. Okay, so here's the takeaway from all of this for me, and that is the wanting the winter is wanting the lives that we have, is accepting the pain that we have to go through, is accepting all of the darkness that each of us has to face in our lives, and none of us get away without it. And knowing that there is a special day that comes along that says we're the ones that get to make the meaning out of it. We get to choose what it means. And the purpose of this day, you know, and it's connected to Passover too. In Passover, the metaphor is Mitzrayim, coming through the narrow place. In Easter, it's the tomb, that dark place. So it's coming through the narrow, coming through the dark into the resurgence of life. Life is going to reassert itself. Life, the energy is coming back. And so our hope is well-founded. And we get to choose what it is that we're going to redeem, what it is that we're going to resurrect, what it is that is going to make our Easter. We get to choose what it is that we are going to pull back up, that has gone down deep and cold, that is ready to be revitalized and resurrected and redeemed. And so I want you to think about that as we come upon our Earth Communion. That's a cue for those guys. How many of you have been here for our Earth Communion before? Many, many of you. So you can help the folks around you that have not been here for Earth Communion. But here's the invitation that I have for you for our Easter Earth Communion this year. And that is, what is your hope? What is your hope for this season? What is going to allow you to give this season the meaning you choose for it? And we're going to be parading out and receiving your little peat cups full of soil, and I invite you to take your hope out with your little cup and find a plant. Many years we have blossoms already out there waiting for us. There might be a couple of blossoms. Please don't smother them with your soil. But plant your soil next to a shrub, next to a blossom, next to a tree, next to whatever it is that you would like to connect your hope with, and then plant that hope with the soil on top of it. And then there are two barrels outside for those peat cups to go in after you've used your soil that's in them. Please put your peat cup back into the barrel and nothing else. No coffee cups, no papers, nothing that is going to ruin those peat cups, because we're going to use them again next year. We're going to resurrect them after another year, and we're going to use those peat cups again, so nothing else in the barrels, but make sure those go. And for those of you who have somebody at home, oftentimes people will ask me, can I take one of the cups home because somebody couldn't be here this morning? Absolutely. Take a cup home and bring it back when you can, but it's more important that it get there. If we need to get more peat cups, we'll do that. What's important is that people have the opportunity to have the ritual that says to each of you, I hope. It is hope. It is your choice of hope, and we are reborn. We are reborn again through that hope. And so, Marcus, if you'll give us some music, we're going to head out for Earth Communion, and then why don't you follow folks out and have Earth Communion of your own.